This podcast is for people who are ready to heal body, mind, and spirit and are willing to take full responsibility for what that involves. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. This podcast contains adult language and themes that are not suitable for young children or those who are easily offended or triggered. The views discussed in this podcast are my own, based on personal experience and of those I have known and worked with for my entire adult life. This show is not meant to take the place of sound medical or mental health advice. You, and only you, are responsible for the choices you make based on the information you hear on this show. Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started. Welcome to episode 6. Today's topic is facing your fears. If you are listening to this show because you want to dig into the meat of alchemical healing transformation, you can't afford to choke on the gristle of fear. Early in my own healing journey, I recognized quickly that I had a lot of fears I'd always been aware of but never sought to overcome or face. Many of them created a lot of blocks in my life, but I was willing to live with those blocks until my health declined, and then those blocks from those fears became liabilities for my progress. A lot of the resistance I was having at that time to diving into my healing process was being hijacked by those fears. Back then, I didn't understand what I understand now about fear. I didn't understand the illusion of it. In the beginning, I wasn't asking myself the right questions when I looked at the many fears I had. I didn't comprehend that I had fears I wasn't even aware of, and that those fears were the ones that were truly holding me back. I taught myself a lot of antidotes to fear that helped me cultivate grounding, centeredness, calm, and focus, which are all necessary to overcome fears. I also learned the one trait you can possess that allows you to be afraid and still move forward. And I learned something else. I learned that while I had a lot of fears back then, I wasn't afraid of the right things. I'll explain everything I just said and a lot more in this episode. I want to be clear that I'm not suggesting in this show that you throw caution to the wind and pretend that you're fearless. You have awareness of a situation, and that awareness helps you make intelligent decisions that are going to protect you and those you love. I don't walk alone on the streets of any inner city at 3 a.m. I don't fear the ocean, but I respect the ocean. The fear I'm talking about in this episode has to do with the restrictive and energy-sapping frequency of fear and how that energy is what's holding you back, and how, if you face your fears in a methodical manner, you will feel a palpable release of that heavy, draining energy that you've been carrying. I got to tell you, it's liberating and often exciting when you can overcome a fear you've had for your entire life and not have whatever that thing was holding you back anymore. Fear is a powerful opiate, and the world is full of people right now who are addicted to it. Fear wears you out. Fear drains your energy and kills your motivation. Fear makes you freeze. Fear whispers in your ear the lie of, you can't do it. Fear is a thief because it steals your life from you. It keeps you huddled in your little safe space where nothing can hurt you except your own thoughts. Fear forces your mind to stagnate and ferment on those thoughts until you push the spin cycle and engage in destructive circular thinking patterns. Fear takes up a lot of space in your life. It keeps you a prisoner of things you often have no control over. Focusing on what you fear is unproductive, unhealthy, and dangerous. It is the worst type of self-absorption. And isn't it ironic that self-absorption never leads to self-awareness? I'm sure you've heard the acronym of FEAR, standing for false evidence appearing real. For people who are deeply entrenched in their fears, they will dig in and tell you that what they are feeling is not false evidence. Everything they fear, they believe, is valid. Everything. And they can give you all the reasons in the world for their belief system. They will fight to their death, justifying every last fear they have. And it will be the hill they die on. But they can't provide one single reason for why they aren't willing to give up one of their fears. Any fear, pick one, overcome it. They won't do it. And I will tell you that as these types of personalities grow older, they are willfully putting themselves in a prison of their own making. Their life will become more isolated, very weird, very fast, and they will lose friends and family because of their behavior. If you want to take false evidence appearing real to its worst place within the transformational field, you must understand that fear carries its own frequency. It's a low vibrational frequency, but it can still be felt and exploited by those who understand it. A highly trained, dangerous, psychopathic or sociopathic man or woman who calls themselves a spiritual teacher or a guru can scan a room and quickly pick out the people in that room who are easily manipulated by fear. The psycho guru can also see the ones who are somewhat more contained and have better discernment. And those are the ones the creepy guru will attack, ostracize, gaslight, and encourage others to do the same to. And I hope that if you found yourself in a situation like that, you'd pack your bag and get the hell out, because nothing good will ever come from that sadistic experience. I wish this subject was discussed more. Your fear, it will be used against you in the transformational movement by seriously unhinged people and just people who see you as an easy mark to generate business for them. However, if you get tangled or entangled, I should say, on the extreme end with a psycho guru, that person can absolutely use your fear to make you believe things that never happened to you. It doesn't mean you didn't experience some type of trauma in your past, but it may not be exactly how the guru is delivering it to you. And they always deliver it on a platter of chaos and word salads that make no sense to you, but everybody else is nodding in agreement to the nonsensical mumbo-jumbo, so you must be an idiot, you think. So you keep agreeing to this devious dynamic, and it gets worse. Psychotics and sociopaths know how to exploit, twist, and reframe whatever may have happened to you, and in your mind, you are unable, because of your insane fear and fragile state of being, to have clarity and perspective on what actually happened to you. At that point, the crazy guru will gladly use your fear and ungroundedness to make you believe that only they can save you, that only they can cure you. They will continue to exploit your fear and plant more false evidence appearing real into your mind. And if you're in a state where you don't know up from down any longer, and say they convince you to go to Costa Rica and drink ayahuasca, when you drink that sacred brew, you go into that powerful plant medicine experience with an intention that is based on an illusion and a lie. When you do ayahuasca, you better walk into that space as clear as you can be and with as little fear as you can muster. And I understand that's a tall order because of the nature of what ayahuasca can produce in one's psyche. But if you are drowning in fear or believe that things happened to you that possibly did not, you'll create a feedback loop that creates absolutely no answers and can contribute to more confusion. I've seen this happen far too many times. If you've been manipulated by a guru in this manner, you can often have a shattering sacred medicine trip that has the potential to leave you traumatized. Thus, if the manufactured memory doesn't screw you up, the traumatizing treatment most likely will. That's one hell of a pickle to put yourself in. People who are so full of fear are magnets for serious damage done to them by unscrupulous healers and teachers in the transformation field. And when genuinely good people who are seeking help get caught up in this type of destructive dynamic with a dangerous healer, if they could just take the time and trace it back to where it all went off the rails, it began with fear. Without the fear, the saga would not have played out the way it did, because they would never have allowed themselves to be manipulated by a psychotic dressed up as a healer. They'd see the psychotic for what he or she was and walk away immediately, and probably try their best to warn others so they don't fall into that trap. This podcast is all about you having the power within yourself to heal, that nobody else can take you where you need to go except you. So let's start going over the tools that will help you break through fear and get you into a place where you are liberated from that burden. Every tool I'm talking about, I used regularly, and they worked beautifully for overcoming fears. I was diligent and focused, and even though I was still afraid when I had to do certain things, by incorporating these various tools and exercises, I was able to reduce the reactivity I had at that time to countless fears, and eventually eradicate many of them completely. Now, since fear is strengthened by inaction, the first tool is making a list of the things that frighten you. I don't care how long your list is. Fear of heights, fear of flying, fear of closed spaces, fear of the dark, fear of spiders, fear of snakes, fear of the water, fear of needles, fear of blood, fear of public speaking. I could continue with this fear fest, but you get the drift. Now, go down that list and give each fear a number between 1 and 10, with 10 being something that scares the shit out of you. If they are all 10s, okay, but step back, you know, get a little perspective and be realistic when you rank them. Next up, you have to take each fear, no matter how you ranked it, and ask yourself some questions about each one. The first question is this fear real or is it manufactured? Furthermore, am I using a manufactured fear to engage in needless drama or to seek attention? For example, if you tell someone in earshot that ever since you watched a certain film 30 years ago where a character was killed by a king cobra, you've always been afraid of dying in the same way, that's a manufactured fear that demonstrates your need for drama and attention. The next question to ask, is this fear justified in my mind? If so, why is it justified? And pay attention to why you believe it's justified, and because is not an answer. Here's another question. What is this fear preventing me from doing in my life? What are you missing out on because of this fear? Next up, is my fear attached to a past trauma that I never shook off? Would addressing that fear help me to become more contained and less at the mercy of that trauma? And the answer is always yes to that one. The next question is very, very important. Does this fear belong to me? Does it belong to someone else? Am I afraid of something because I watched that fear be modeled by someone who had a strong influence on me? And it has to be someone who had a big influence on you, because if they didn't, their fear would be their fear, and you would possibly mock it or not absorb it. If your answer is yes to this question with any of the fears on your list, you have to understand that a fear by proxy, so to speak, is an easy fear to overcome because it was never yours to begin with. It didn't come to life because of something you experienced. You've just been told to be afraid of it. And when you recognize that reality, it can be so freeing and so disarming at the same time. So put a little check mark by those fears, since they don't belong to you. Those are the ones you might want to tackle first. The last question you want to ask yourself is, am I tired of having this fear? Am I just really done with it? If your answer is yes, those two are the easy ones to handle because you really are over it and ready to see it gone. Now, I also want you to get perspective and write down on a separate list all the fears you've ever had in your life that never happened. Fears that prevented you from moving forward that never happened. Fears of loss that never happened. Fears of failing that never happened. Too many people spend ridiculous amounts of time focusing on fears that never happen, and they never seem to notice how they keep setting themselves up with this dangerous thought pattern. I know someone who, in his mind, has lost 3 businesses, 2 houses, 1 car, and his entire net worth. In his mind. None of that actually happened. He's absolutely fine. But it didn't prevent him from focusing on those fears and painting dire scenarios for himself and his family. And after each fear didn't happen and continued to not happen, he still kept up the pattern, which is really hard for a family to be around, especially when the fear never materializes. You know, if you're doing this, people will stop taking you seriously, and you'll begin to look very weak and very unstable. And weakness and instability are not transformative qualities. So you have your list of fears, and you've rated them according to how much they terrify you. Choose one that is simple that you want to overcome. Choose a fear you're tired of or one that you realize doesn't belong to you. Because the energy around those is not as intense as the others on your list. And when you overcome the minor fears, you recognize that not only are you capable of doing this, but that you like the way you feel when you overcome something that has always dogged you. It's a very powerful feeling to experience. And if you were engaged on a transformational healing path, which I think you would be because that's the theme of this podcast, you notice how much lighter and less burdened you feel. What I personally found so interesting about this method when I did it was that because I was consciously addressing these fears with the clear intention of overcoming them, that I felt in command of what I was willing to face because I instigated that decision. I wasn't being forced to overcome the fear. And that intentional energy often made the action of overcoming the fear a little easier because my intention removed the resistance that I'd had regarding that fear. Your dedicated intention carries so much weight when it comes to consciously choosing to face your fears. Intention is like a fire that fuels the motivation you need. There's a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt that encapsulates what I just said. Quote, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along," unquote. But here is the big secret I learned when I was actively facing my list of fears. I discovered the antidote to fear. It's not bravery or courage, although those are necessary aspects. Nope. The antidote to fear is curiosity. Curiosity tames your fear. Curiosity allows you to willingly put your fear to the side in search of something potentially more intriguing, more interesting, or just different. Curiosity is the fuel that drives the engine of self-discovery and hopefully greater soul awareness. The more your curiosity is rewarded with growth and a new perspective, the more you'll continue to be willing to see what's around the next bend, or over that mountain, whether it's an actual mountain or a mountain you've built in your mind. And once you overcome fears and see that what you thought was impossible is very possible, your curiosity continues to grow. I have a lot more tools to share with you that will allow you to overcome your fears as long as you put the intention into actually doing the thing that you fear and not just using these tools as band-aids or as bypassing busy work for non-action. These various methods are meant to calm your body, to center and ground you, and to allow you to shake off, literally, that electrical energy inside you called fear that is short-circuiting your life. I used a lot of different methods, and so I selected the ones that I used a lot and that I thought were the most accessible and simple for you to do. The first tool in my toolbox has to do with breathing, because fear creates shallow breathing. I was taught what was called box breathing. I was told that Navy SEALs use this technique to de-stress. It's called box breathing because it has 4 sides of 4 breaths, and this is how you do it. You sit in a comfortable chair or lie down, and exhale to a count of 4. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4. No less, no more. So you exhale to a count of 4. Then you inhale through your nose to a count of 4. Then you hold it for a count of 4. And then exhale through your mouth for a count of 4. I typically wait a couple counts and then start the box breathing again. I like doing it with my eyes closed because you can really focus on your breath that way. Start with 3 or 4 rounds of that and then stop and check in with yourself and see what has improved for you. Box breathing helps you to tap into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digestion body system that is usually getting hijacked by your sympathetic nervous system that is known as the fight or flight and fear system. The next one trick I love, oh, I love this, and it works every time, is what I call the four-fingered mudra. This is something you can do when you're standing or sitting or lying down. Do it with both hands simultaneously. You touch the tip of your thumb to each finger in sequence, pressing the tip of each finger for about 3 to 5 seconds. So it's thumb to index finger, then move on to the middle finger, then the ring finger, and finally the pinky before starting the sequence again. Now, from what I read, pressing the index finger with your thumb helps you to ground yourself and connect with your root chakra. The middle finger fosters patience. The ring finger helps you to establish the energy of stability and self-confidence. And the pinky relates to activating your intuitive skills. There also are 3 acupuncture pulse points on your body that, when pressed, relieve stress and also help to engage that parasympathetic nervous system. There are more than 3 pulse points, but I chose the ones that are the easiest to do. The first one is located right between your eyebrows. Place your index finger there. Close your eyes and gently hold your finger there and rub the point in a slow, circular motion. You should notice feeling calmer in less than 30 seconds. You can do it for 10 minutes if you want. The second pulse point is known as the P6-6 point, and it's located on the inner forearm, 2 inches below your wrist joint, in the center between the 2 tendons. Press the point between your tendons and hold it firmly but gently, and use slow circular motions for about 2 to 3 minutes. You can put a drop of lavender or frankincense and essential oil on that point, which can allow for even greater calming and centering. They do make acupuncture wristbands that you can buy on Amazon and elsewhere that you can adjust to press on the P6-6 point. You'll often find them by typing in anti-nausea or just nausea wristbands on Amazon. I'll put a graphic of the PC-6 pulse point on my Instagram page if you want to verify the location on your wrist. The third pressure point is a vagal nerve point located behind your earlobe on the mastoid bone. It's right behind your earlobe. You'll find this indentation, and you'll want to massage that area gently. You don't have to push hard. The vagal nerve is interconnected with the parasympathetic nervous system, and I found that when I used an oil combination called parasympathetic blend and placed a drop of that behind my ear at that point, the calming and centering effects were even more profound. Whenever I needed a dose of courage and calm to face a fear or just feel calmer overall, I'd use this parasympathetic blend. Sometimes I'd use it 5 times a day. I'll put a link to the parasympathetic essential oil blend in the notes of our show that will take you right to it, and the company who makes the oil has generously offered my listeners a $10 discount off your purchase. You want to use the code LAUREL10, all caps, LAUREL10, and I'll put that code in the notes as well. There was a lot of foods and supplements that I also used to increase my fortitude, which gave me more grounding and energy to deal with fears. In traditional Chinese medicine, the kidneys are connected to fear. And so I took herbs that would strengthen and fortify my kidneys. Now, I'm not a TCM herbalist. I'm more hooked into the classical European plant medicines. But I depended a lot on an herb blend known as the He Shu Wu formulation. That's H-E-S-H-O-U-W-U, 3 words, formulation, which was a fantastic tonic formula that I could absolutely feel creating more contained energy inside of me and less feeling of being drained. And it also gave me a lot more warmth, which is what you need since fear tends to create a cold energy within you. I also really love taking red ginseng liquid extract every morning in hot water. Oh, I looked forward to that every morning because within a minute or so of drinking it, I felt this deep, penetrating warmth throughout my body. It's a fantastic chi tonic for maintaining energy and strengthening the immune system. If you decide to try this, make sure whoever makes the liquid extract uses six-year-old ginseng roots because that's when the plant material is mature enough to provide the medicinal power you're looking for. I incorporated both liver and adrenal organ supplements, which definitely helped with grounding and providing me with a continual source of renewal that is absolutely necessary when you are facing and overcoming fears. I also drank a lot of beef and bison bone broth, which were incredibly nourishing and regenerating. When I really needed to calm myself prior to tackling a fear, I used both CBD and CBG. That's a G as in great. These are both non-psychoactive, so they won't get you high. I only used what is called full-spectrum CBD tinctures or capsules and never CBD isolate, which is only CBD and no other cannabinoids. I've worked with and researched cannabis for well over 14 years, and there's something called the entourage effect that some of you may already be aware of. The entourage effect demonstrates that a tiny bit of THC, and we're talking less than 1 or 2% of THC, when present within the full-spectrum CBD, allows the CBD to work more effectively. After experimenting with many different ratios and comparing my results with others, I think the best CBD to THC ratio is for every 10 milligrams of CBD, there should be 1 to 2 milligrams of THC. This allows the CBD to anchor more effectively in your body and helps to put you more into a flow state because fear negates the flow state. Many companies are making healthy edibles that dial in these similar ratios. Now, CBG is a much rarer cannabinoid, but it is fantastic for anxiety and for increasing focus, and those are two qualities you need to combat fear. I found that when I used a CBD-CBG 50-50 blend of around 5 milligrams to as high as 20 milligrams of each, that it absolutely dialed back the fear response. I had a very little chatter in my head, less distractions, and I was able to really zone into whatever I was dealing with and not feel the nerves that I was used to feeling. If this subject interests you, I do have a series of shows I'm working on that deal in depth with cannabis and its transformative abilities, along with other well-known sacred plant medicines that many people in the transformation movement often gravitate to. So stay tuned for that one. It's coming up soon. The other tool in my toolbox to overcome fear is something called TRE, and that stands for Tension and Trauma Releasing Exercises. I did a series of these with a facilitator and liked how the process was able to release a lot of that pent-up deep muscle tension that was stored in my body and created a lot of resistance physically and emotionally when I was facing and overcoming fears. You don't realize how much tension you've built up in your body until you have a few sessions of TRE. So just like you have your list of fears, so did I. And I went through my long list and was able, over a period of about 1 year or less, to overcome every single fear on that list to the point where if one of those former fears would present itself to me, I'd do what was needed and forget to be afraid. That's when you know you've overcome it, when you forget to be scared of what used to terrify you. But even after I'd conquered everything on my list, I felt like there was still something left undone. It took me a little bit of time to realize that the act of ticking off a list of fears was just the first step. And that first step was absolutely imperative because I taught myself how to be comfortable and brave and engaged in situations that had always been a source of big panic for me. Bravery, I learned, at least for myself, is actually a very calm, very focused, very neutral feeling. It was like a muscle that needed strengthening, and I was able to get that muscle of courage working strongly again. What I didn't realize until about 6 months later was that I had been training myself all that time to face the deeper, more rooted fears within me that actually carried much more trepidation and angst than anything on my list. Rooted fears such as fear of failure, fear of success, fear of abandonment, fear of the unknown, and fear of death. But I learned that what is buried under all of those is the greatest fear of all, and the one that often keeps us all chained to a life that is not fulfilling. And that fear is the fear of opening your heart center to not just those you love, but to life itself. Because truly taking in life, inhaling every part of what life has to offer, from joy to grief, from beauty to pain, to opportunities that challenge the core of your being, fear of failure, open your heart up to the understanding that failure is part of life and that failure teaches us what not to do the next time, which is incredibly valuable. Fear of success, open your heart to take in the bounty and be prepared for the responsibility that comes with that. Fear of the unknown. This is being afraid of things that only exist in your mind. Open your heart to the unknown and see it as an adventure as it unfolds. Opening your heart center up to friends, lovers, and partners, it certainly takes time and trust, and you have to straddle that thin line between discernment and true love for someone else. You know, what I wasn't prepared for after conquering a lot of my big fears was how the people in my immediate circle were very hooked into their fear du jour. And when I would downplay one of their fears, it made them angry. They would be deeply offended because it was very important to them that their fears were acknowledged and seen and agreed with. So if I didn't really want to play along with their fear festival anymore and made the cardinal mistake of shrugging my shoulders when the topic of nuclear and/or biological war came up, I'd say something like, control is an illusion and these are next level decisions I'll never have any control over anyway, and I've learned that it's pointless to spend time fearing things that you absolutely have no control over, period. That is when your fear-loving friends will leave you and rarely speak to you again, because damn it, you're just not getting triggered. You're just not leaning into their conversations anymore and feeding the beast of fear. And you are clearly rejecting the approved narrative. Because after you've done some work on your fears and understood how much better and freer you feel, you can step back and clearly see the draining quality that fear steals from human beings. You see the edge. You see the apprehension. You see the shocking lack of discernment and perspective. Once you start to overcome many of your long-held fears, another part of you changes that kind of comes out of left field but can't be ignored. And it's this calm, centered awareness that is not reactive whatsoever. And it hits you hard when you understand how much energy you wasted in your life emotionally overreacting with fear to situations that didn't need that hyper-reactivity to be engaged. Once you inhabit that centered awareness, you're not attempting to convert anyone to it. You know that's pointless. You're just watching from the bleachers and predicting the next move, because the next move will always be manufactured with fear. But all that said, I do think that too many people in the transformation movement aren't fearing the right things. I mean, if you're going to fear, at least fear the right things about your healing journey. You should fear that you don't possess proper discernment that can prevent you from getting embroiled in a situation or with a therapist or healer who isn't right for you. You should be flat out terrified of being taken in by an unscrupulous or even dangerous spiritual teacher or guru who entangles you in a subtle or not so subtle group or cult. I touched on this earlier, of course. The personal transformation movement has always been a magnet for those who attract high functioning narcissists who also possess sociopathic and psychopathic traits. Be afraid of not listening to your gut instinct. If you fear death, you're fearing the wrong thing. You should be terrified that you haven't truly lived and taken in all that life has to offer. Anais Nin wrote, "People living deeply have no fear of death." Be fearful of missing out on opportunities that could change everything in the blink of an eye. You need to fear having a lot of regrets when you're older and the immense weight of those regrets. Be afraid of not saying "I love you" to those you have always loved. Be afraid of putting off heartfelt conversations with people who have helped you or who you care about until it's too late and they leave this world. Be very fearful of oversharing with the wrong people, as well as trusting friends with a lot of the trauma and realizations you're unearthing during your healing process. I've been there and done that. Be afraid of getting to a point where you don't check yourself daily to make sure you're not bullshitting yourself about something in your life at that time. Be afraid you'll forget how to call yourself on your own bullshit and fears or non-action. Be afraid of believing that going through a deep healing transformational experience makes you superior to all the poor sons of bitches who haven't fully awakened yet. That's a gigantic trap you want to avoid, because if you hate organized religion because it has hierarchy, and then you act superior because you have so much knowledge and everyone is so asleep, yeah, be afraid you don't become that man or woman. And piggybacked onto that one, be truly afraid that you look at yourself as invincible after going through your healing crisis and that you know everything. Because all you are doing is poking the bear of hubris and ending up in another situation that forces you to recalculate once again and remember that being humble goes a long, long way. You should be afraid of wasting your life and spending endless years in self-absorption that leads nowhere, except to make you feel more confused and lacking in direction. And you should be afraid of not asking yourself the right questions that lead to honest introspection and vital perspective. As the saying goes, you're only as strong as your greatest weakness. And if your greatest weakness is fear, then you're only as strong as your greatest fear. But the good news is that the art of courage will always be your propellant forward. And when you begin to untangle the deeper fears of self-worth, self-acceptance, self-respect, and you open your heart to life and new opportunities, your entire world will shift in ways you've never experienced. When you're no longer shut down by your own fears that have always held you back, you can breathe in life and you can take in a world you've never really seen or tasted or inhaled. That's all for this week. Thank you for choosing to listen to this show. If you like what you hear, share this podcast with others and follow me. Check out the notes for this episode where you'll find the links that I discussed in this episode, the discount code, and how to find me on Instagram and X at Laurel Dewey or The Alchemy of Natural Healing. Looking forward to you joining me here next week when I go over 12 questions you've never asked yourself. New episodes drop every Saturday. Until then, remember that awareness is a demanding mistress. Once she wakes you up, she won't let you go back to sleep.